Good morning, everybody. Praise God. It's good to see you. Why don't you greet somebody next to you and say, it's going to be good today. You can be seated. Thank you, worship team, for leading us. That was. I got a question. Did you all plan the outfit, or was it just all get it in your spirit? They're awesome, huh? Well, you never met anybody more excited to be in Cedar Rapids. I asked the pastor yesterday, where are the rapids? And he didn't know, but we found out that they're here. You know what rapids are? Fast-moving flows of water. So we were in the rapids. They're here. They're here. And so what a treat to be here. I remember God's been so good to me. You know, I grew up as a jazz saxophonist, and that was my whole life. That's all I cared about. And growing up, he put me with the absolute best people that could train me and help me, sent me to the best colleges for that. And then we were so blessed that when it came time to serve God and I got saved, you know, and got turned on to the things of God, he did the same thing for me in that he put me with just the best folk that you could put me with. And so back in 1993, well, I had already been in ministry for a couple of years. And then in 1993, my wife and I went to a place called Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Cedar Rapids is kind of a better name than Broken Arrow. But anyhow, we went to a place called Rhema. You've heard of it, no doubt. Your pastors went there. But anyhow, I went there, and I didn't know what I was going to do to support ourselves. God said go, and so we went. And almost the first week I was there, somebody who had known of me found out I was there, and I got hired to play, be on the Richard Roberts show, television show. And it was just a small group at that time. So we would just tape 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I was in school in the morning. In the afternoons, we'd tape. And so I had Monday afternoon available, Friday afternoon available. And so I decided, well, they have this thing called Healing School. And so I'm going to go Monday afternoon. And I went, and there was a fellow, his name was Keith Moore, ministering in Healing School. I thought he did a decent job. I really did. He did a good job. And then on Friday, I went back, and Brother Keith wasn't there. But there was this red gal on the piano with long, curly, red hair and some big hoop earrings. Think 1990s. And she played, and then this gentleman got up, and he said his name was Jay Eberly. I still have the notes. I was going to bring the notes, because I sat there, and I wrote down Jay Eberly. And we were first year, you know, we had just gotten there, just moved to school, and Jay Eberly, and I remember I started taking notes, and then I stopped, and I said, I like that. I like that. Yeah. And I'm telling you, that same bite of faith that he had it back then, 1993, and now I didn't meet them that day, but I never told you guys that. That's the first time I ever saw you, but I remembered who they were because it was such a blessing, and I'm like, you think about that, man. His wife's leading worship and he's preaching. And I said, that's cool. That's so cool. and really just a couple weeks later, that job that I had, they stopped doing that. And I actually got hired to be on with the Hagans. So I couldn't go to Healing School ever again during that time. And so thank God I did. Thank God I did. We're the ones that are honored to be here in Cedar Rapids and here at this church and associated with your pastors who, in, you know, just my opinion, I think they are absolutely the cream of the crop. I know you don't need me to tell you, but it now, if you didn't say amen like that, it would be kind of a concern. So this is a highlight. This is a highlight for me to get to be here. But you know who else is here? Is the Lord's here. His anointing is here. His presence is here. And that's special, isn't it? It was made mention of before that I do have some things with me. I might let you know about a few of them if I can. God, I didn't know that God would use me to write books. I got D's in English in high school. Not so much because I had a learning disability. I had an organizational disability. I wasn't saved. That was it. I just couldn't get it together. Anybody here, before you knew the Lord, you couldn't put the package together. And I got saved, and I went to college. I got a 4.0 in college. After having missed the first semester, that's part of my testimony I don't have time to share. But anyhow, so the fact that I write books is really a miracle. But God helps me, and I have other people that help me. And so the newest one we have is actually a revision and re-release of one of my earliest ones. I went back and read it, the earliest one, and I said, oof. And realized that skills have improved over the years. And so, it's also a God thing and a real timely thing. So this is a book on the local church. It's called Assembled Together. And, it's been said that actually this year, different ones have prophesied that this year is the year of the local church. You know, we get excited about some of those things that people say, but you know, it's not always good that it has to be said. The reason some of these kind of words come forth is because some things have slipped. And I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir, you know what I mean by that? Because you're sitting here and you're here, but there is a lack of knowledge among the whole body of Christ as to really what this thing called the local church is. Really what these people called pastors, just really what they are. And really, there's just a lot of folk that they might have a church, but they're only getting maybe 20-25% of the benefit from it, whereas you could get 100% of the benefit. And then there's a lot of confusion regarding things like you'll hear terms like spiritual authority. And then you'll hear terms like spiritual. Maybe you don't. You probably don't listen to anything outside of this church, which is good. Be sheltered. But there's all kind of folk that are like, oh, you know, I was under a church and they had spiritual abuse going on. Yeah, most of the time you just didn't want to do what was being said. We just be real about it, right? But I think this book would be really helpful if you haven't read this. It's a blessing, Assembled Together. Anybody want this copy? Good, it'll be back at the table after the... You can purchase it back there. I mean, it will be back there. Then, sorry. You liked me better when I couldn't speak. Don't ever introduce... Whenever a church has like an ad that I'm coming to their church and they say guest speaker, I say, oh, you might not want to say that. Because I might not. I might not speak. Guest minister would be better. Speaking of which, I know you have some of the finest in the land that come here, guest ministers. I'm honored to be one today. I know I'm not the best one, but there's a chance I might be your favorite one. Just planting that seed in you. And so if a lot of time goes by and you don't see me here again, don't wait for your pastors to be led by the Spirit. Start pestering them. Say, they always love, pastors love when I say that. Just say, we want our favorite. Then there's this book called Fearless. And this is interesting. Two weeks before the pandemic started, well, before it came to our land, God dealt with me to start writing this. And then 2 weeks into me, it took me longer than 2 weeks. But 2 weeks into it, of course, then fear just descended upon our land. And of course, my sense of purpose to get this done and finished grew, and it's been a blessing to a lot of people. It's like a 30-day devotional, and it talks about all the different areas where fear can crop up in your life. Sorry to say it, but I'm somewhat of an expert because I was bound by fear for a long time, tormented by it. and didn't even recognize what all was going on. God's helped me over the years. And so this will help you identify strong fear and subtle fear. And give it the boot out of your life. It doesn't belong in you. It doesn't belong in you. Friends, you're to be free. You're to be uninhibited. You are to be unshackled. And so this would be a blessing for you. And speaking of freedom, now here's something really interesting. There's only, well, of the books that I have, only two of them did God really, not force me, but tell me to write. All of them I had a witness to write. You understand that? But two of them he dealt with me. Well, one of them I didn't want to because I said, nobody cares about this subject. He said, you write it. And I'm glad I did. I won't tell you because about that one. You just have to be led. But then this other one, this other one here, and it's ended up being real interesting. When the last round, because, you know, every so often in our land, anyhow, we get into racial turmoil, you understand? And the last big round of it has been about a year ago or a year, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago now. And everybody was coming out with their statements condemning this and condemning that, and that's fine. And I just said to myself, I don't have anything to say about that. And the Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said, go get your computer. And so this book is called They Shouldn't Have to Ask, Reflections on Race, Rights, and Equality. Not my normal wheelhouse, you know what I mean? But I really interesting, and I was asking the Lord, why did you deal with me to write along these lines? Because I stay out of stuff, you know? And I said, why did you deal with me on that? He said, there's a lot of people that need a landing spot, need to know a balanced landing place. And then secondly, there's people, and this was me, that there's a whole lot of folk that think, well, because I don't hate this people of other colors and I get along with everybody, that I could just shut my eyes to everything. But you know, God is so serious about the freedom that's been provided that everybody should have it. So that's back there. And then this one, I love this one. This is called The Dogs Get the Crumbs, A Study in Humility. And this is the closest thing I have to an autobiography. It's not my picture on the front, but I got my picture on the back. It's the closest thing I have to an autobiography because I tell all the stories about how God had to deal with me time and time and time again to help me flush some of that ugly pride out of my life. He spoke something to me. He said, regarding the subject of humility, he said, son, there's things I want to use you to do someday, but I can't unless you learn this. And that would be true for all of us. So these things are back there if you're interested in them. And I'll tell you what, if you buy one of these paperback ones, you know what? You could go on my website and get the ebook for free. And you know what else? Even if you don't buy one of those, you could go to my website and you could get the ebook for free. And all of our audio series are on there for free. And they're on Apple Music and they're on Spotify and all that other stuff. So if that's a blessing to you, but you know what you ought to feed on more than that? Yes. Matter of fact, he mentioned those messages from Porterville. Those things, I saw he was there. I listened to both of them and I loved, I mean, just what we have a saying. I was in Western New York for a bunch of years, pastoring Buffalo, New York area. And we had a hockey announcer and hockey was big in Buffalo, New York. And when everybody, you guys sports people, you're probably not. Did you know that you, I'm from Colorado. Do you know that you guys beat up on those poor Colorado State? Did you know that? You beat up on Colorado State, the Rams. You sent them home with their little ram tail between their legs. We got to go pick up the pieces now in Colorado because of what you did. Thank you. What was I saying before that? Was I saying? Hockey, that's right. And so whenever a player would score a goal in the top of the net, we had this announcer that would say, top shelf where mama hides the cookies. They call it a top shelf. Well, Pastor Jay's preaching in California was top shelf where mama hides the cookies. Praise Praise God. I got to get something out of here. Sorry, I'm getting organized. All right, what'd y'all do with my iPad? No, I did have it. Did I leave it back there? No, here it is. Sorry, I've done this before. Preaching, that is. Well, how many was here last night? You came back, good. Anybody here, you weren't here last night? Yeah, a couple of you. Welcome, good to see you today. If you're a visitor, I'll let you know. Hello, hello. If you're a visitor, don't judge this church based on me. I'm just a guest. So you will love the pastors. Matter of fact, come back and let the pastors be the one to run you off personally. All right. So we do welcome you today. And thrilled to be here at Spirit of Faith. Remember that time when they had Brother Joel in. Hallelujah. I want to have you go in your scriptures, if you would, to Acts, the second chapter. Do y'all project stuff up on the screen some? Do you have the Amplified? I'm sure they can. Yeah. Okay. I'll pull it up if you don't have it. Acts 2, and we're going to look at verse 12 and verse 13 in the Amplified. And today we find out if they have it. Everybody good today? You don't believe they're going to have better meetings? You don't believe that Pastor Jay's meetings in California are going to be any better than these meetings, do you? You're not going to let them have better meetings than we are, are you? You getting it? We're getting it all. Okay. Acts chapter 2, verse 12 says, "And all were beside themselves with amazement, and were puzzled and bewildered, saying one to another, 'What can this mean?' But others made a joke of it and derisively said, 'They're simply drunk and full of sweet, intoxicating wine.'" That's an interesting text to start with, isn't it? Huh? Over in the King James, chapter 2, verse 12, says they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Now, what was it that happened that they were so taken aback with, that they had such interest in? Well, a situation that really, in some respects, probably not too different than what we experienced last night. You know, last night, God was here. Huh? Anybody here that you just say that God visited you personally, huh? And you experienced some stuff on the inside of you, huh? Feel like you're different, feel like you're changed. I mean, I know it's always good here, no question about it. But I actually was preparing for the service last night, and I could not get a message. Well, there's a reason why, right? Because we didn't have one. But laying on my bed, I did see something in my spirit last night. I saw what I could describe as a low-hanging cloud here in this auditorium. And I saw that all we had to do, well, because Pastor Nancy Dufresne, I love illustration, she talks about how sometimes the power of God is like the pinata at a child's party. And all you have to do is strike that thing, and all the goodie comes out. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I saw that with this cloud, we didn't even have to strike. That if we would just touch it, that there would be great outpouring from it. And I didn't know that I wouldn't preach, or that, you know, all I did was see that, and I knew at some point, somehow, we'd experience that. But sure enough, I mean, two hallelujahs and three praise the Lords, and boom, we were right? it was there, but you know, thank God. I believe that God wants that kind of easy flow to be just resident in a place like this, and just always be there. You know, for whenever it's time and whenever it's right and for whatever type of thing for us to be able to go there. But you think about, though, what happened last night. And if you weren't here, we just experienced God's reign. We experienced God's presence. You're a little late, but that's all right. We experienced God. But yet, when they in the book of Acts experienced something similar, not everybody understood it. And not everybody in the body of Christ certainly today understands it. And it seemed right to me this morning to take some time and to kind of go down that direction. We've had the display of it. We've had demonstration of it. But I want to put some word to it. I want to put some understanding, because the people there in the book of Acts said, "What meaneth this? What's this all about? What's going on?" And then other people said, they're just drunk. And Peter gave some explanation to it. But what I got to thinking last night after I got home, and we had a great conversation at dinner last night afterwards. I couldn't talk. I just couldn't talk. And I got home last night, and I'm laying in bed, and I thought, if this was put online, which maybe it was, but let's just say it got out there. You know what I mean? And I didn't even wonder what would the world think, because I could put videos of them up. You know, I was a jazz musician for a lot of years. I played a lot of weddings. Last night was tame. It was strong, but it wasn't all that in terms of, like, you know, clothes stayed on for the most part. You know what I mean? But I've seen other stuff. But I got to thinking, what would most Christians think? What would most Christians think? And I got to tell you, I know what most Christians would think. Because a video like last night is not the first one that's out there and up there. And so I actually pulled up a video of Brother Hagin, where there was a similar flow and a similar strong move. And I just wanted to see. I've seen these things before, so I knew what to expect. But I just wanted to see what some of the comments were. What do Christians think? And I got to tell you, 95%, which would mean out of 20 people, how many? 19. 19 out of 20, that's 95%. That's as far as my math goes, so don't. And I might not even be right. Am I right about that? That would be 95%. 20 nickels and a dollar, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. 95% of Christians. Can I take some time and tell you what they think about it? Well, they would say that what we experienced last night was absolutely, positively not God. And they would say, and I know this because it's what they've said, that this is not real Christianity. And they would say with certainty that is not the Holy Spirit. And they would say that, are you enjoying this? I want you to know what people think of you. That's what I'm talking about. They would say that because the Bible was not preached, that the service was rendered invalid. Forget that the Bible is preached plenty. You know what I mean? And they would say also that we were making a mockery of the things of God, treating his things lightly, which is a problem because so few people do treat them seriously. And because God is not mocked, the Bible says, that we will reap his wrath. I'm not joking. I do joke. But I'm not joking about this. This is just without me embellishing it. I might correct some grammar, but other than that, this is exactly what Christians, the majority, when I say majority, I don't mean 51%. That is a majority, isn't it? 51%? Right? You could win an election. Oh, stop. Sorry, we don't talk about that. No, I mean the majority, like 90% or better of Christians, believe this about what meaneth this. What you saw, what you did last night. Okay? And so they believe this about you, that you are all terribly, horribly deceived. And they believe that what happened could not be God because it was not conducted decently. And what? And in order. Well, whose order are we? Who gets to define? Because when I read the Bible, I found that a herd of pigs ran violently down the hill. Decently. And in order. God's order. God's order is not always the same as our order. They say this. We're about halfway through what people think. We have tonight too, right? So you okay? Okay. They think that what happened last night is emotionalism. How many of you last night just got so emotional, baby? Everything. If anybody is that out of control emotionally, that you can't stop doing something, you're in trouble. It wasn't emotionalism. Christians say they're just being emotional. They say that about you, charismatics. You, full gospel, you Holy Spirit people, because you talk in tongues. You speak in tongues. And they say they're just emotional. I don't know. Anybody of you watched the Iowa game yesterday? I didn't watch it. But when they start beating up on the Colorado State Rams, they never hurt you. They never hurt anybody. Which is the problem. They never hurt anybody. So, but if you tuned into that and you saw a good pass play that went down the field and the Colorado State defender looking back and say, oh, I was supposed, that was me. I'm sorry. I was supposed to take care of that. I guarantee you might have gone, hey, go, all the way to the end zone. Go.
Come on.
Yeah, you, right? Yeah, go, right? You didn't start speaking in tongues. Did you start speaking in tongues? So you got emotional. You got excited. Yep. But there was no tongues. Huh? Yeah. And did you pass out on the floor? No. So there is such a thing as emotion. But that ain't it. It's not emotion. There's another realm. And the fact that 95% of the body of Christ doesn't even know what realm we're responding from, that's a problem. That's a problem. That's the problem. They don't even know the realm exists. They don't know. Not mad at anybody. You understand that? Our heart goes out. We want people to, you know, I was talking to the guy, not yesterday because I was here yesterday, day before yesterday, somebody doing some work for me. And he said something about, you know, being able to start something Sunday morning. I said, well, we're church people. Don't you go to church? Aren't you in church? He goes, no, but he said, I, No, he said, but I received Jesus. He said, I got saved. And then my wife, she received the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. I said, what about you? He said, well, yeah, I pray. I do too, but I don't know how to do it. Well, I said, we'll help you with that. No problem. And so I demonstrated and I told him what he could do. And he said, yeah, but I don't know how. He's convinced he doesn't know how. And anyhow, there was a great point that I had attached to that. Oh, the point was, yeah. He said, I'm 40 years old and I just found out. He said, why didn't anybody tell me about this all my life? Why am I just finding out about this when I'm 40? Glad he found out. Amen. There's another realm that Christians, it's the God realm. It's what we're created to be attached to. And most of the body of Christ doesn't even know it exists. This thing called the spirit, this thing called the God realm. Are you? Hope we're not putting you to sleep today or anything like that. So they think. It's emotional. God is not in laughter. Jesus was anointed with the oil of sadness above his brethren. It's a sad Jesus. After all, he's going to the cross to bear the sins of the world. Oh, it's a sad road. Huh? Jesus was one happy dude. How can you think? Now, I understand. I did too. Matter of fact, as a lost person, anybody here, I bet you had the same experience. As a lost person, I remember going to a music camp, Rochester, New York, at the Eastman School of Music. And we went to music camp there one summer. And me and all, every other teenage jazz musician, you know, and we're just all focused. We're very focused people. Jazz in the morning, jazz at lunchtime, jazz at night, listening to your records, practicing your instrument, playing this and that and that. And there's this guy who was part of the camp. He was a trombone player. And he's walking around, and he had this crazy smile all the time. And I said to, and now I'm Jewish. And I said to a friend of mine, what's wrong with him? Why did I say that? Because he's happy. He's smiling. He wasn't talking in tongues. He wasn't talking in tongues. He didn't have his hands lifted to the Lord. He didn't walk in the hallway and just get down and start rolling on the... He had a smile. Always had a smile. And so we concluded something must be terribly wrong. Why? Because nobody should be happy. But Christians ought not think that. Christians ought not to think that. In fact, one person said, anytime the Spirit of God comes on me, I cry. Well, you can, that's fine, whatever. But I mean, don't think that God can't be in an expression of joy. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then here's another reason why last night could not have been God. Because one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. I love this one. They said, we're just putting on a show for the cameras. So we're going to have a service tonight, so we have to rehearse what's going to happen tonight. They said, we're acting. We're just acting. It's all fake. Listen, if it would be the biggest miracle ever if you could get that many Christians to cooperate together. In anything. You can't get them to do anything together. So if we got all of us to act together, that would be a miracle. Okay, here's what's going to happen tonight, okay? We're going to film it. I'm going to come over to you. You're going to start shaking violently, okay? Are we good? We good? That's your role. Your role is to roll. Where did we get the time to rehearse? Listen, and none of these comments were single comments. They were all repeated. Because I'm talking about something that had been viewed tens of thousands of times, and there were thousands of comments. So you they're repeated in there. They're acting. It's fake. They're doing it for show. The ministers are doing it for a show. I was in the entertainment industry for about 3 decades as a professional musician. I understand shows. I understand theatrics. I could get a much bigger crowd out in the world doing it. Hello. So anyhow, putting on a show for the cameras. And then they said this, which is I was initially concerned, but I got over it. They said, the ministers leading these services will burn in hell for deceiving people. Christians are saying that. They don't even know what sends up. Anyhow. And then I love this one. And this is kind of what we're going to jump off and talk about a little bit. They said, there is nothing in the Bible about this. Nothing. There is nothing in the Bible. May I suggest that before you say there's nothing in the Bible, that you read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. I think some of the, I don't go on social media a lot for this reason. But you know, everybody's an expert. Everybody's an expert. And then, of course, we're just doing it. You know why we're doing it, right? Thank you. Because isn't every minister in it for the money? So they think. They Christians, they're just in it for the money. They're deceiving people for the money. I have one question. Where's the money? Stop. So, yeah. Having too much fun here, really. And then the last thing, and this is kind of a deal. And this was probably the greatest comment, meaning the most offered comment, is that these people are either demon possessed, or this is not the Holy Spirit. These are demon spirits. But I'll just tell you this. If what I experienced last night was a devil, give me more. Bring a legion. Oh, you might not want to stream this particular. So I want to minister to you as God would help us, and maybe continue this tonight about kind of the truth, because obviously the perception among just the body of Christ is really skewed. And what we experienced was mighty special and mighty powerful and belongs to everybody. And shouldn't be right that just the smallest percentage of the body of Christ would even think these things to be of God and not of the devil. Some of y'all are rethinking your participation last night. I don't know. If it's all that bad, maybe it was a devil. No. What, honey? Devils couldn't get in the room. No. Devils leave. Devils leave in situations like that. They don't come in situations like that. Devils go. And so, you know, there's those who think that this is just demonic. There's others who may not think it that way, may not be just so greatly opposed to it, but they do also wonder about the necessity, the purpose. Is this really helpful? Is it doing more harm than good? And, you know, especially, how many know the body of Christ doesn't have just the greatest level of credibility in the world to begin with? And maybe we did. Maybe, you know, if you're old enough to remember, there's times where, you know, you respected people of God. You respected ministers. You respected the church and things like that. And if, you know, that's been deteriorating for many, many years to where that respect and that honor is not even, meaning that you couldn't, maybe you didn't call yourself a Christian, you didn't go to church, whatever, but you still had a respect because it was generally respected. And we've seen that decay, haven't we? We've seen that erode to where that's not even here like it should be. And if that wasn't enough, just the actions of the body of Christ in the last couple of years during the pandemic and the election and everything else where we've all voiced our wrong opinions, that hasn't helped. You know what I'm just saying? That where we've believed this theory and we believe this theory and it doesn't help our credibility. So you wonder, do we really need to add to all of that photos and videos of people laying on top of each other? Meaning, if you're going to look for something to cut out to try to boost our credibility and let the world know that we're a force to be reckoned with, you might think about cutting out somebody going down the rows and you know what I mean? You might think about cutting that out, depending on what you understand about some things. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so a whole lot of the body of Christ, they might agree that what we did last night was of God, but they feel like it sure is of minimal importance. And in their minds, they think, well, you have your teaching services, you have your church services, and then on the opposite of end of the spectrum, you have your church dinners, right? Your church fellowship events. You might have a game night. You know, do y'all ever have any fun here? A banquet or something. You know what I mean? Like a banquet where it's just to get together family time. Just fun family time. And so in a lot of people's minds, that what we did last night would be the spiritual equivalent of game night. No, you know what I'm saying? Meaning, okay, well, that's just fun. Well, I'm not going to lie. It's fun to get saturated with God. It is. It is. There's fun to it. But where does it really fall in that spectrum between, you know, well, hey, we just want the preaching. You know, when we went to Rhema, they would have, for the new students, they would have like a Hawaiian luau barbecue type thing. I don't know if they did that when y'all were there. And sure enough, I mean, almost every year, you get a group of students who said, that's carnal. We're going to have a prayer meeting instead. Too carnal. We're not going to participate because that's not carnal. You always get your ones. They don't want to come to the church dinner. They don't want to come to family dinner because, well, no, that's not spiritual enough. I'm serious about the things of God. Yeah. That's all you can do. That's all you can just love. We love you, honey. We love you. So really, no, what is it? What is it? Do you understand that this flow that we experienced last night, nobody in Scripture ever experienced that until Jesus died and rose again? You understand? That was not a thing to be God indwelt and to be God filled. That was not a thing. And so if he died for it, how are we to treat it? If we died for it, do we just treat it lightly? Come on now, how many believe like me? If he died for it, I want it. If he died for it, it's got to be important. If he died for it, I'll honor it And it's serious business. Yes. It's serious business. So let's just get some word on this. I'm not a long-winded, you know what I mean by that? Like, I don't just go on and on and on. I'll preach until I sense we're done and we'll just be done and it's not terribly long and we'll come back tonight. Huh? Yeah. But y'all sang so long, so, you know, we are later. But let's just see a little bit of some things in the world. Well, first of all, how do you know if it's God? That's not a question. That's not a, you might say, well, you know, if my pastors didn't condemn it or shut it down, it must be God. Well, that's probably the case, but you ought to be able to know whether something's God or not. There's some ways you can test. Huh? Doesn't the Bible talk about testing the spirits, trying the spirits to see if they be from God? A lot of people don't know what that means. I will just, you can turn if you want with me to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Praise the Lord. Is this okay this morning? Thank God for the word. Thank God for the spirit. I'm a word and spirit folk. Don't you think that's good, isn't it? Hmm? We had some spirit last night, y'all. We got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you? You know, I was at a church one time with Brother Hagin, and I shouldn't even tell you that story. Anyhow, they started doing that in the church. They started doing that, and they meant it. And we're sitting there like going, oh, my God. Really, the two different sides of the church. We got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. I guess they thought that was, anyhow. Not everything I say should you pay close attention to. We're going to read a scripture that you should pay attention to. Hebrews 6, verse 17 says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. A lot of big words here. Help me. Confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable, that means unchangeable, that's what immutable means, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. We'll stop right there. And you might say, Brother Joel, what is that talking about? I honestly don't so much know. But it talks about two unchangeable things. Two unchangeable things. And listen, if you had Bible scholars and they all said these are the two unchangeable things and they're different than what I say, or if your pastors say that those two things are different than what I say, I wouldn't argue with them. I'd say they're probably right. But I know for me, there's two unchangeable things by which we can tell whether something's God or not God. The first one, and this is, if you're trying to think I'm being complicated, I'm not. It's quite obvious. What's the first unchangeable thing? The word. How many know that the word never changes? Glory to God. There's warnings about adding to the word, taking away from the word. Leave the word, man. Leave the word. This is the holy word of God, the written word. It never changes. Never changes. But you know, there's something else that never changes. And I like to say it this way, these two things. Again, for me, somebody might say it different, and I wouldn't argue with them. But for me, the word and the witness. The word and the witness. What do I mean by the witness? I mean the spirit on the inside of me. The Bible says in Romans 8 that the spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now let me ask you a question, friends. How many here you're saved, you're born again? Huh? Glory to God. That's about 80% of the crowd. That's good. But now, when you got saved, was your experience similar to my experience that you didn't have to tell me it worked? When I received Jesus, I mean, come on, I was a Jew. I did not know one good verse about being born again. I had a friend tell me what to do, basically told me. And let's just say if anybody was going to botch it up, it was me. You know what I mean? Meaning that if there was a verse, I would have quoted it backwards, right? Or... But he said, he talked about just receiving Jesus, you know, turning from where you're in, just receiving Jesus, inviting him. We use that language, right? And you understand that even if you didn't get all 4 points of the spiritual laws right, God saw my heart. Yeah. And when this little Jewish jazz musician sat in my friend's VW Beetle on Sheridan Street in Hollywood Beach, Florida, and I said, I can't do this anymore. God, if you're real, Jesus, if you're real, if you can do anything with my life, I'm giving it to you now. Come into me, and here's my life. You did not have to tell me that it worked. The Spirit Himself. Glory to God. Woo! The Spirit Himself bore witness with my spirit. I was a new creation. Something, and I didn't know one verse. I had never been to church. Huh? It worked at the beach. If it'll work at the beach, it'll work in the church. It'll work where you are. And here's my point. Somebody 100% unknowledgeable, 100% unskilled, I could tell. I could tell by something on the inside of me that I was no longer out of sorts with God. See, you got to understand, just a couple months before this, maybe about 4 or 5 months before this, I was sick to the point of death, weighed less than 100 pounds. You can see I've taken care of that. Praise the Lord. Like to the tune of another 100 pounds, you know, but just as tall as I am now. And I had a full scholarship to the best jazz school in the world, had to withdraw after 1 week of college because I had gotten sick. So I had to withdraw from school and set all my dreams. And I'm just laying there. And now your blood count, I'm no medical professional. I don't know these things, but there's a ratio between red cells and white cells. And mine was completely reversed to where it was like over 70-some% white to the red. And so it was similar to leukemia, but they couldn't get that diagnosed right. And it was similar to maybe real bad mono. But anyhow, ended up to where the doctors said to my parents, we don't know what to do. We don't know if he'll make it. We don't know. And all of a sudden, for the first time, instead of making fun of the things of God, I'm thinking about, oh my God, what happens if I die? And on the inside of me, if you had asked me a couple days, weeks earlier about heaven or hell, I would have told you which one to go to. I just didn't care about that. But now all of a sudden I knew that there was a place called hell, and I knew that that's where I'd have to go because I knew I wasn't right with God. Again, I didn't have a Bible verse to tell me. Amen. Now, there's plenty in the Bible that corroborates that, you understand, but I can tell you there's a hell without having even been in the Bible. And so I knew, so I got seeking God. God, reveal yourself to me. God, show me. And all these months later, there I am. So I knew what it was like to not be right with God. And after one spiritual transaction, now I knew what it was like to be right with God. To not have that on me anymore. Yeah. To not have that fear of what happens if I die. Yes. Glory to God. You know what? Can I tell you what happens if I die? Yes. You want to know? It will be the best day of my life. Yes. That'll help you. Yes. I said that'll help you. Yes. Glory to God. Yes. So what am I saying? There's a witness on the Spirit. And if it can be strong enough to or somebody who doesn't even know anything can tell. How many know that you ought to be able, as you grow in the things of God, you ought to be able to tell that much more? Is this God? Is it? You ought to be able to tell something's God, not just because your pastor said it was. Again, that's valuable, their confirmation. But you ought to be able to tell just on the inside of you. Huh? Amen. How many would agree that what we experienced last night was just a ramped up version of what you experience all the time? Meaning it's the same spirit, just a stronger degree, a greater intensity, maybe a greater density. Huh? The same spirit. The same spirit. Do you agree? How many, you'd say you could sense? You could sense, yes, yes, yes. So by the witness and by the word, we're going to give you scripture, not probably so much this morning because our time is winding down, is it not? But we're going to give you some scripture. Or maybe we won't. Maybe just wait for the book to come out. But I wrote these down. I mean, I can give you some. I want to give you some word to go with the witness. But we had the. I mean, the witness was there. Do you understand what heaven will be like, friends? Do you know why I had difficulty walking and talking last night? Because I had, Jesus, thank you. You talk about it and it starts to manifest there. The God realm was multiplying and expanding on the inside of me to where it's really a whole lot like this. You know, when you get in a swimming pool and you're just in a little bit of water in the kiddie pool, you can walk like normal. You know what I mean? But when those waters rise, you go deeper, and all of a sudden, well, you're not just doing everything. You're more aware of the different realm. You're more immersed in the aqua realm. Hello, aren't you? Aren't you? But you know what else? You can do things in that realm that you couldn't do out of the water. My brother and I, we grew up in South Florida, and we had a swimming pool at our house. Thank God, which is good because I had poor hygiene, so I wouldn't shower like I should. Teenager. Come on, teenager. Okay, give me a pass. But I would jump in the pool before school. I'd go out, just jump in the pool, swim to the other end, get right out, towel off, go to school. And, you know, so you might have used, you know, soap. I used chlorine. But anyhow, when my parents were away, which was a lot actually, and they should have rethought that. But we would take all my mom's pool furniture and throw it in the pool to make an underground water city. Yes, yes, of course, of course, Florida. And so we'd be underneath there swimming underneath the table. But in that water, I could pick up a lawn chair like that, huh? Yeah, I could pick up stuff. We could do all kind of stuff under the water. It's like we had super strength. Huh? We were merged with Jesus. We were merged with a different realm. We were merged with a different realm. Praise the Lord. And so yeah, there's a reason why I was walking. It wasn't just me. Huh? I was stepping in things. You know what I mean by that? The realm of God was merging with the natural realm. And yes, it will affect you physically. Don't so much remember what I was talking about before I got on that. But it's all been good. Oh, I was yeah, I remember. Thank you, Lord. It always comes to me. So we were taking on the properties of heaven last night. And it affects you. But you understand that heaven is just more of that. To where you need to go, you need immortality. You need, the mortal needs to put on immortality. You need a heavenly body, hello, to experience the greater. But I don't know about you, I want all I can take that will take me to heaven and then just back it off a little bit. To where I can live to see another day down here. And I'm happy to walk in that. Amen. And I'm not ashamed of it. And if I'm part of the 2 or 3 or 4 or 5% of Christians that don't think it's demonic, I'm okay with that. But you know what I'm believing? Let's preach on these things and get some word to go with this witness. And find out some of the purpose of this and really just what place it has and what, not only that, what it leads us into. And I believe the message will get out and I believe it'll spread. Glory to God. Oh, there's so much stuff. I'm not getting into it. I'm not turning this iPad back on. Because I'll go to the next thing. Which leads to the next thing and the next thing. You know how it goes. Praise the Lord. Hey, can we take a little break here? Just stand up and praise the Lord for a minute. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. We worship 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 you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. Praise, 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 praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Now, church, can I ask you one thing? I just wanted you to change your position. Can I sit you down for one more second? I want to say one more thing before I turn it back to the pastors, if I could. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Professor. You can keep playing. It's beautiful. Listen, as I was sharing that about me coming up, raised Jewish, not knowing God, being so lost, you don't even know. You don't even know. And I say I found God, but really He found me. And His love latched onto me and wouldn't let me go. And His love is pointed just as strong in your life. And if you're here today, and I don't know, of course, who's here. Most of you said you're believers, and I believe that. But if you're here today and you never have received Jesus, and you say, I can't do life on my own. I can't do this anymore on my own. None of us can. None of us can. And if that's you, with every head up and every eye open, looking right at me, and you say, I want Jesus, I want you to just real boldly put your hand up right now. I'm looking around. Is there anybody here? This section, is there anybody you say, I want Jesus, I'm not saved? Put your hand up. Be bold. Be bold about it. Anybody? Most of us might be saved. I understand that, but I wanted to give that opportunity. Anytime the Lord leads me to start sharing my testimony, a lot of times it's for that reason. Anybody over here in this section, you say, I want Jesus. I don't care who knows it. I want to be saved. Was there somebody whose hand was raised? I didn't see. Anybody in the auditorium? Okay. All right. Hey, y'all, be believing God with us for just exactly what He would have us do tonight. God's coming tonight. God will be here tonight. Amen. Glory to God. Bring somebody with you. Prepare them ahead of time. It'll be good. Thank you, pastors.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory. When Jesus was crucified, the Bible tells us, the very Psalm 2:4, I believe it is, tells us, God sat in the heavens and laughed. God, can you imagine what went out through heaven when God laughed? I don't think it was a ha, ha, ha. I think it was, whoa, ha, ha, you know, just. And that spread through all of heaven. It was the most critical time in the history of the world. This was serious. So it required God's most serious weapon of faith. Ha, ha, ha. Come on. That is in the Bible. That is in the Bible. And joy is foolishness to a lot of people, but He takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. What good is that? Well, you've never done it, obviously. Amen. It is foolish to the wisdom of the world, but it confounds you how God uses those things to turn things. I'll tell you why, because it's an expression of faith. It's an expression of faith. It's one of the most serious expressions of faith. In God's most serious situation, He turned it with a laugh. Because faith turns things, and faith is full of joy. Hallelujah. And listen, I mean, you see it in the book of Acts. there, and he turned to that scripture in Acts 2. They thought they were drunk. You can get so full of rejoicing that you're just beside yourself. And that's that other realm which he was talking about. Aren't you looking forward to tonight? Ha, ha, ha. Amen. 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 No, that doesn't have to happen every service. But when the Holy Ghost wants to move, we're in. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Don't you appreciate his ministry and standing for these things? Hallelujah. You have to get to the place. You love people, but their opinion of you, it doesn't affect your decisions. It doesn't affect, you know, the other people's head is a bad place to store your joy. It's a bad place to store your joy. Amen. And so we love people. We want the best for them. We keep encouraging them, but we're moving on with God. God has always taken a remnant to lead people into what he really wants to do in the earth. It always starts with a small group, and that's fine with us. We're okay with that. Praise the Lord.